The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
All right, good morning. You can turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Isaiah 53 this morning. Isaiah 53. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Pastor Matt Brown. I am the pastor here at First Baptist, and I'm so thankful for everyone who came out, whether they be regular attenders or firefighters or just regular guests. We thank you for being here with us today. So this morning we'll be in Isaiah 53, and we'll just be in three verses this morning, verses 4 through 6. And so let me read that to start out. It says this: "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Did you ever encounter a problem with no solution? You know, there's many problems in the world that, from a human standpoint, they don't seem to have a solution in life. Apparently in math, there are problems that have no solutions. That'll be kind of frustrating for a student, right? It's like, there's no answer. In life, we look around the world and we see so many problems in life that they just don't seem to have answers. So we see, you know, rampant poverty. We see violence. We see corruption. We see drug issues. And it makes us think, are there solutions to these problems in life? Maybe you've been faced with a seemingly unsolvable problem before. You know, the one where it's like, no matter what I decide, someone's going to be upset. Someone's going to be hurt. It's like nothing is good is going to come out of it, no matter what. And these no-solution problems, they create a lot of emotions within us. Sometimes it's anger. It's like, I'm done with this. Maybe it's discouragement where it's like, I just can't win. Or maybe frustration where it's like, why can't there just be a solution? And these solutions may make us want to give up, throw in the towel, walk away. And they take away our hope and put despair in its place. But what if I told you that although it appears unsolvable, the biggest problem in the world has a solution? Each of us would run to that solution, wouldn't we? Well, first, before I get to this problem, let me first talk about the context of our passage this morning. So context is very important as we read God's Word because it helps us understand the Word of God. So at the end of Isaiah 52 and then into chapter 53, Isaiah is talking about this servant of the Lord. And now as we have the complete scriptures, we can look back and we see that was Jesus Christ. He is the servant of the Lord. So God says that this servant will be exalted because his suffering will bring salvation. Yet many won't believe that he is the Messiah at the time because he doesn't look the part. He has humble beginnings. He doesn't look like this Messiah would be. And so he becomes despised and he becomes rejected by people. A man of sorrows and pain. He doesn't deserve this suffering, yet God uses it to bring salvation to his people. And because of all this, he will be exalted. And it's in the heart of that context that we find our passage, these three verses, this morning. So although he was rejected, he was not esteemed by his people, the people now understand in these verses that his suffering was for us. So this morning from the text, I want to explain the problem, the solution, and the result. And so we first see the problem is that we are all sinners. That's the problem. For more than 20 years, Professor Edwin R. Keady of the Pennsylvania Law School used to start his first class by putting these numbers on the board, 4 and 2. And so he would ask the students, what's the solution? One student would call out 6. Another one would say 2. The rest of them would say 8. But the teacher would shake his head in the negative. And then he would point out their collective error. He would say, all of you have failed to ask the key question. What's the problem? Gentlemen, unless you know what the problem is, you cannot possibly find the solution, he said. And the teacher knew that in law, as in everyday life, too much time is spent trying to find out the wrong problem. So many times we go after the symptoms of problems in life and we find out it doesn't work, instead of going after the root cause. So men and women here today, the root cause of the problems of your life and of the problems of the world is because we're all sinners. What do we each bring to the table? Sin. Throughout the Bible, it paints a not so pretty picture of our condition. It displays to us that we have all sinned. So ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have each sinned in our lives. So just one sin makes you a sinner. Think about all the many sins that you have done in your life. If you lusted after someone, that's sin. If you become angry with someone and called them names, or even called them names in your head, that's sin. If you coveted after what someone else has, God says that's sin. Just look at these couple verses. Verse 4, it's our grief and sorrow. Sickness, pain, disease, sorrow, they point to sin and they point to the consequences that come from our fallen condition. It was after the fall that pain and sickness entered the world. So as you look around and you see illness and you see pain and you see disease and you see grief, it all goes back really to sin, because sin created these things in the world. We also see in this verse is that it's our transgressions and iniquities. Transgression is when you choose to intentionally disobey something, when you transgress the law. Rebellion against God, that's essentially what it is. Iniquity points to our heart and character, our crookedness inherent in us. So this isn't just a few people's sin. It says our transgression, our iniquity. But also it's our punishment. It's our chastisement that comes into play. The punishment that we deserved because of our sin. Any and all sin deserves punishment. So if someone steals from you, you desire something to be done. Something should happen. Well, you have a holy God who was sinned against, and so he can't let sin slide. So think about a judge just letting a murderer walk free. We would call him an unrighteous judge because he didn't bring about justice. Well, with a holy God, he must deal with sin, or else he is an unrighteous God, but he's not. So in this passage, we see sin itself, but we also see the consequences of sin brought out. And then in verse 6, we're given this vivid picture of this reality of sheep wandering away. Every single one of us, no exception, is like a sheep who wanders away. We turn to our own way. By nature, we're sinful. We're selfish people who desire to go our own way. We're kind of like that foolish sheep who just kind of leaves the good shepherd and leaves the good path to go off course. Think about your children, if you have them. You don't have to teach your children to sin. It's not like you're teaching them, you know, how to do wrong. No, you're teaching them to do right. But because we're all sinners, sin comes out. I'm experiencing that with my 2.5-year-old. Sin comes out. And we didn't teach him that. That's because every single one of us is born a sinner. We're kind of like that sheep just roaming away. Roaming in our own way, but that leads to danger when you go away from the shepherd. You know, we think we know the way. We believe we know what's best for our lives. We try to solve our problems with our own remedies. We try to fix our lives with our own cures, but it doesn't work. Because we're wandering away from our true good shepherd, from the true good path. So imagine a man who goes into a convenience store, steals the money, and walks out. But the problem is that he was seen on camera the whole time. His face was clearly seen. Everything was seen. He was seen on camera. And so the police go and arrest him, and he keeps saying, "I didn't do it." And they keep saying, "You're on camera. We all saw you." He can't get around the truth that he did it. So he can claim all that he wants, that he didn't do this, that he's not a criminal, but that doesn't negate the truth. So also, you cannot get around this truth. We are all sinners. That's what we bring to the table. And this may sound very depressing, but there's good news, for there's a solution for this hopeless and dire situation. And the solution is that Christ became our substitute. Think about in one of the Charlie Brown comic strips, Linus and Charlie Brown are talking together. And Linus says, "I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or complicated that it can't be run away from." But isn't that what we sometimes feel like doing with all the problems in our lives? But the problem is that we can't avoid this problem of sin. You can't run away from your sin nature. You can't avoid it. But there is a solution. You see, we all bring sin to the table, but the good news is that Jesus takes that sin upon himself. The text says that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He has taken the burden of our sin, the effects of our sin, and has borne them on himself. He's not only taken the burden, but he's carried them away. We deserve to be under that sin burden, yet he graciously takes it off of our backs and bears it on himself. And this isn't just temporary relief, but this is permanent relief. It's not like he's like taking it for a day and then he puts it back on us. No, he permanently takes it off. We see this in Christ's healing ministry, where he takes people's diseases and pain away. We think about presently, where our sorrow can be turned into joy because of Christ. And finally, we think of a day where there be no pain, no sickness in heaven, all because he bore it and he carried it away. You know, and people in Christ's day, when they saw him suffering, think about on the cross or the crown of thorns and all that's involved, they thought that he was being punished for his own sin. But this text says, no, it was our sin. He didn't sin in any way, but it was our sin that he was suffering for. He was stricken because of what we did. He was wounded. Another word, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. So he didn't just die peacefully, but he died a violent and excruciating death on our behalf. The punishment that we deserved was placed upon him. It was our punishment. It wasn't his in any way. But he took our punishment. He took our chastisement upon himself. God takes our sin, our guilt, and places it on Jesus Christ. So that Christ dies for our sin penalty. He dies to satisfy God's wrath against sin. The Lord does this. He lays it upon Christ. You see, the cross wasn't outside the control of God. It wasn't outside the view of God, but God used it to provide salvation to many. And this all points to the amazing truth that Christ became our substitute. He died on the cross in our place. We deserve to be there. We deserve punishment. We deserve to experience the wrath of God. Yet he took our place. You see, Christ didn't just merely die as an example. Though it is an example to us. He didn't just merely die to pay Satan a ransom. No. Christ died as our substitute. He took our punishment that we deserved and he satisfied God's wrath against sin. Listen to 1 Peter 2, 24-25, and listen to the similarities between this passage and that one. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He didn't take our sin burden because we're so lovable. He didn't take it because we're amazing. We're so deserving of this. But he took it while we were wandering sheep. We were lost sheep. We were rebelling against him, wandering and going our own way. Yet out of love and mercy, he says, I'm going to take your sin upon myself. Christ initiated the act of grace. And so what we do is we bring sin to the table. And Christ takes it from us. He bears it. He carries it. And he dies because of it. Our sin needed to be taken from us. We couldn't pay for it ourselves. We were wandering a lost sheep. We were unable to stay on the right path. And that's why we needed Jesus Christ to take that sin from us. And bear it and just carry it away. Do you realize that Christ is the solution to your sin problem? We've all sinned, but the good news is that forgiveness is available to all people. There are a lot of solutions in this world, but the one solution that trumps them all is Jesus' work on the cross. So our immense sin debt was charged to his account. And what do we receive? That's what we see next with the result, is that we receive peace and healing. Now, I think about when you solve problems, usually there's a good result. So think about, you know, in school, when you take a test and you solve all the problems, you get an A. When in life, you have problems with your car and you solve the problems with your car, then you can drive around without hindrance. If you solve a problem that was putting a wedge between you and your friend or between you and your spouse, there's reconciliation. There's some sort of healing there. So also, because Christ provides the solution to our sin problem, then that means there's results. There's good results that come from that. And the first is from our text is that if he took our sin upon himself, that means we're forgiven. We are forgiven of all of our sins. So we don't have this sin hanging over our head anymore. No, because our sin was placed upon him on the cross. He bore it. He died for it. By his blood, we are forgiven. So there is this great cost for sin, but he was willing to pay the cost with his very life. So that means if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior today, then your sins are forgiven because they were laid on Him. That's a glorious truth. We no longer have to bear the guilt of sin. We don't have to bear the shame of sin, for He has taken it. And we gain forgiveness because of His sacrifice. But we also gain peace with God. So because of our sins, because of our iniquities, there was no peace with God because there was a barrier between us and God. Sin puts that barrier. Sin makes us enemies of God because we're rebelling against Him and sin must be dealt with. Yet Christ took away that barrier by taking our sin. And He was punished not because of His own sin, but because of ours. The punishment that was rightfully ours was placed upon Him. He bore the full cup of God's wrath for sin. And by doing this and going under this punishment, He secured peace with God for us. So we no longer stand under condemnation, but we have peace. We no longer are enemies of God, but friends and actually children. And the other result of this work is that with His wounds, we are healed. Think about that statement. How can wounds bring healing? Usually wounds make us not well, but here they make us well. His wounds bring healing. And this healing is forgiveness of sins, restoration of our relationship with God. Forgiveness, peace, and healing. Now, that, I would say that's some good results. Those are some good things. Our grief and our sorrow are healed. Our punishment is replaced by peace. Our transgressions and iniquities are forgiven. He corrects all that was wrong because He became our substitute. So these verses in Isaiah 53 really bring out an important truth, and that is Jesus Christ suffered and died in our place for our sins. Forgiveness can't be merited because of how good you are, how amazing you are. No good work can save you. No good work can even be added to your salvation, because salvation and forgiveness are only found in Jesus Christ. To add anything to His work is to diminish and take away what He did on the cross. Because that means what He did on the cross wasn't enough. But it was enough. Peace with God can't be attained through your blood, sweat, and tears, but it was done through His blood, sweat, and tears. Healing can't be gained through your power, but is received because He emptied Himself and became a servant to the point of dying a death on the cross. True forgiveness, peace, and healing are only found in Jesus. It was your sins that He died for. It was your place that He took. And that's what I call grace. That's what true love is. We were rebellious, lost sheep, undeserving, sinful, broken, sick, but God sent His only unique Son to the earth, who lived a sinful life, took our sins, bore them, carried them. It was laid upon Him, and He was broken so that we could be healed. He was punished so that we could find peace. Sin was put on His account, and His righteousness was put on ours. And these are two truths that I want you to really think about. We are all sinners, yet Christ died for sinners. So now what will you do in light of those truths? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to ignore all that He did for you and still be under the wrath of God? Will you believe? Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross and be forgiven once and for all for your sins? You know what, in verse 12, talks about how he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You don't have to go to anyone else except Jesus Christ, because he interceded once and for all for you. He is the mediator between you and God. And through him you find forgiveness once and for all. There's no more guilt and shame and burden, but you can be free. So go directly to Christ. Put your faith in him. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've already done that. That's great. That's the most important decision you can make. But do you reflect often about that sacrifice? Do you cherish it? Are you thankful for it? No, I'm not sure what awaits each of you in the coming months and years. But I do know what awaits those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the solution to life's biggest problem, that's what it is, which has results that not only touch your life now, but go on into eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And what he did, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to leave his home in heaven and come to this earth and experience pain and sorrow and death. But he did it out of grace and love. He did it to save sinners like us, like me, so that we could find forgiveness of sins and have a home in heaven. So we thank you for that. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.